serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches on FM 94.7.
Marriage is a divinely covenanted relationship.
Dr. Tony Evans says scripture is clear on the basis of marriage.
What God is saying is, this is my covenant, and it is my rule, and it is my institution, so you must function under my guidelines. That is, if you want my blessing.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. These days, it's not uncommon to know someone dealing with marital issues, and sadly, divorce is no longer an uncommon occurrence. Well, today, Dr. Evans provides us with biblical insight into this significant topic as he begins a short series on divorce and remarriage. Let's join him as he gets started.
Families, more specifically marriages, have fallen on very tough times. This thing of divorce and its attendant reality, remarriage, is problematic, to say the least. And while intentions are all good, when people go before the justice of the peace, it doesn't take long before it looks like they were wed by the Secretary of War, because it doesn't appear to take long to deteriorate. Churches have decided, many of them, to skip the issue, preach about it, but not deal with it beyond that, because it is a very complicated thing. You're dealing with the depth of people's pain and their emotion, children and finances, and on and on and on and on and on. A government has decided that it will take the path of least resistance, and so legally you can get a no-fault divorce. And of course, I've never heard of a divorce being nobody's fault, but for a few dollars and an agreement, if there is no contesting, you can get out of it one day, get in another one the next day. Well, we're not going to dodge it. We're not going to skip it. We're not going to run from it. We're not going to ignore it. But like everything else, God has spoken and he has not stuttered. But that does not mean that it is an easy subject, because it is not. It is cataclysmic in its repercussions. I'm certain that as I speak out today, many of you, myriads of you, have either been divorced or have seriously contemplated it. And God has spoken. The problem is, we do not like everything that God has said in how he has spoken. So to speak about marriage relating it to divorce particularly is no small subject. And there's so many questions. Is there ever a legitimate ground for divorce? If they are, what are they? How do I access them quickly? But my purpose is not to provide in our time together here an easy exit. God creates very hard exits, and there are a few exits. But most people start with the exit. They say, this is not good. How can I get out? And that's never God's mentality, so forgive me if I do not put divorce on the lower shelf where you can reach it easily. If I do not put it down here where it is quickly accessible. Understand, if I raise it to a high shelf where it is very difficult to reach. And the reason why it must be raised there is because of the nature of marriage. Most people are mixed up on divorce because they're confused about marriage. Whenever you start your discussion about divorce without having predicated it on marriage, you have reversed the order. People today simply say, I don't want to be married anymore. But what is it that they don't want to be? If you are confused about marriage, you will be terribly confused about divorce. In fact, they make it as risk-free as possible. You can make an agreement before you ever get married. Nuptial agreement. Just in case this doesn't work out. Like the man who told his friend, marriage is a serious business. It's a serious commitment. Anytime you have to commit your life for 6 or 7 years. Because that's what happens today. In Malachi chapter 2, the passage we would like to focus in on today, God speaks to the issue of his attitude toward divorce in light of his definition of marriage. The Jewish leaders have been bothered that God has rejected their worship. God is not accepting their worship. He says, and this is another thing, verse 13, you cover the altar with your tears and he no longer regards your offering. He says, your worship is a waste. They say, why? Because you have dealt treacherously with the wife of your youth. She is your companion and your wife. And here is our word, by covenant. In that one word, God has defined marriage. She is your wife, your mate, by covenant. The reason that divorce is very hard in Scripture, very narrow in Scripture, very difficult to get in Scripture, is because marriage is a divinely covenanted relationship. It's not just a haphazard, let's go before a preacher and hear a ceremony and say I do and go home. It's a covenant. Now, in order for me to set the stage, let me cite for you the three reasons God created marriage. And then I want to spend the rest of our time defining the word covenant. God created marriage for three reasons. First of all, it was to serve as a divine illustration. It was to illustrate the character of God. God is one God composed of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We call it the Trinity. Marriage is one unit composed of three realities, a husband, wife, offspring, children, forming one family. God wanted there to be in history an illustration of how he is in eternity, three distinct realities composing one unit, the Godhead. In a family, three distinct realities composing one unit, the family. And God wanted to illustrate through these relationships his relationship to history. He says, husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church. It's not just about you loving, it's about Christ loving. And wives, submit yourselves to your husband as the church submit to Christ. It's not just about you submitting, it's about the church submitting. And what he is saying is, unless you understand that marriage is designed to reflect God, you will keep it on the human terms only. And one of the reasons we are so quickly to discount marriage is because we have kept it on the low shelf. We forgot we're illustrating God. And once you stop looking at it as an illustration of God and only as my happiness and my contentment, then of course when you're no longer happy and when you're no longer content, then you want to get out. The second reason why God created the family and marriage was for procreation. God created marriage as the mechanism through which children would come. Now, God did not give children just so we could have lookalikes. The purpose for granting children was the replication of the image of God, so that children would be raised up in the homestead. In Adam's Eve case, it was Eden. And then after they reached the proper age, they were not to live in Eden, thank God. They were to leave Eden and go to the rest of the earth. The whole idea, he said, was be fruitful and multiply. And the purpose of the multiplying, he says, in Genesis 1, is to fill the earth. That they might leave and establish their own homestead. But why? Because he made man in his own image. And so what God wanted was the proliferation of the image of God worldwide. In other words, God is so in love with himself, he wants as much of himself everywhere he can possibly get it. And so the mechanism he created to proliferate himself was procreation via family. Family was an important part of that because family would provide the context where the image of God would be reinforced in the life of the child, thus raising a child in a Christian environment.
Dr. Evans will share the third reason God created marriage when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, I want to let you know that the subject of today's message is clearly addressed in Tony's straightforward, practical booklet, Divorce and Remarriage. In this booklet, Dr. Evans presents valuable insights from a position of compassion and biblical authority. And it's already helped thousands find answers to their real-life questions about this challenging and emotionally charged issue. We are offering this helpful booklet as a special bonus alongside Tony's current teaching series by the same name, Divorce and Remarriage. The CD collection includes the following four messages: The Covenant of Marriage, Death of a Marriage, Divorce Court, and Renewing the Covenant. Through them, you'll gain a clear understanding of what marriage is meant to be, how God views your relationship, and how to recover from a broken trust. We'll send the audio collection and booklet to you with our thanks in return for a contribution to help support Tony's ministry on this station and others like it around the world. This is a limited time offer, so don't wait. Contact us today at tonyevans.org to get the details and make the arrangements. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or you can give us a phone call at 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are standing by around the clock to help you. I'll repeat that information for you at the conclusion of today's message. Here's Dr. Evans once again, outlining the third purpose of marriage as presented in Scripture.
Thirdly, divine illustration, procreation, self-realization. Remember, God told Adam, he said, Adam, you need a helper. In other words, you can't do all I want you to do by yourself. And so I am going to give you a helpmate. Not someone under your feet, not someone over your head, but someone by your side. And their job is to work conjointly with you to achieve my goal for your life. Every man who is married has been given a helper, and that job of the helper is to use all of her gifts, talents, skills, resources to come alongside to enable you as head of the home to fulfill God's will for your family. Our national ministry began in 1982, built to a large degree by an unseen person, and that is my wife. Using her abilities and talents and skills, she came alongside and did a lot of the behind-the-scenes things that made the out-front things possible. And to not use those resources and skills is to not maximize your help. So God had a very distinct reason for creating family, and in particular marriage. He calls it in Malachi 2 a covenant. Now, what is a covenant? To put it in a simple phrase, a covenant, that is a biblical covenant, is a divinely ordained contract predicated on relationship. In many of your wedding vows, they use the word covenant. The Bible calls the church a covenant. God had a covenant with Israel. All through the Bible, this word covenant appears and reappears. We are called, as we gathered around the communion table today, the new covenant. It is designed to explain a unique relationship. However, it is more than a contract because it is predicated on a relationship. You can enter a business deal and have no relationship with the guy you're dealing with as long as the deal looks good. But in a marriage, that's not the case. In a marriage, or in any of God's covenant, you enter relationship. So if you want to be part of the family of God, you must what? Enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because covenants are more than contracts, even though they are contractual. Covenants are predicated on a commitment to relationship. When you understand that that's what you do when you get married, and of course that's not taught today, and so people don't really know that's what they do. They kind of know it's serious, but it's not that serious. Then you understand this is a very important issue. She is your wife, he says, by covenant. Now, there are five things I want to say about a covenant. First of all legitimate covenants in Scripture are established by God. It is God's covenant. Marriage, brothers and sisters, is not your covenant, it's God's covenant. Let me say that again. Fundamental. Marriage is not your covenant. I mean, you are a participant in it, but it is God's covenant, and as such, He makes the rules. God makes the rules. Notice what he says here in Malachi. He says, because the Lord, verse 14, has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth. That word witness means legal accuser. It's like a witness on the witness stand. He is coming to testify from, listen to this, the heavenly court. Because remember, covenants are contractual. They're always legalized. But they're legalized in heaven before they're recognized on earth. Now, most people respect the fact that God has something to do with the covenant. That's why they get married in church. Okay? Most people will affirm, God, you got something to do with this, so let's go to the church to get married. And if a minister married you, he said, do you promise to do this, to do that, to do the other, for as long as you both shall live, so help you God. Why does the minister bring in so help you God? Because he understands that a covenant is established by God. That's why in the Bible, if you had a legitimate grounds for divorce, you had to get a bill of divorcement. You didn't just go out and get divorced. It had to be legally stamped. Now, why is this important? Here it is. Hold on to your seats. Put on your seatbelt. It's important because if a covenant is established by God, it can only be ended by God. Hello. Talk to me, walls. If it's established by God, it can only be ended by God. Now, that's not what people want. They want God to approve the wedding, but don't want him to approve the divorce. They want God to say okay at the marriage, but they don't care whether he says okay at the divorce. No dice. If you get married and get a divorce unapproved by God, when you marry somebody else, you commit adultery. And the reason you commit adultery is because in God's eyes, he has not freed you up, so you're still married to the person you think you got a divorce from. Yeah. Hello. I wonder, are there any adulterers in the house? If you get a divorce for a reason not allowed by God, and we'll get into those reasons, but not allowed by God, and you marry another, God says you commit adultery because it is my covenant, and since it is my covenant, I am the only one who can release you, because it's mine. Most people don't have that view. They view it as ours. God, you're good for the altar. Now we're going on the honeymoon. You can stay at church. No dice. Marriage is made in heaven. First of all, the institution of marriage is made in heaven. Well, here's what you're getting at. Here's play psychological games. People say, well, I don't believe God put us together. Yeah. Why didn't you say that on your wedding day? Huh? You didn't say that on your wedding day, because if that's how you'd have felt when he said, do you promise? You'd have said, no. No, I ain't going to promise to do that. I'm not going to promise to do that. Why did you say yes? With tears coming down your eyes. All nervous and sweaty. Why, mister, when she came in the door and started walking down, were you grinning? Because as far as you were concerned, on that day, that marriage was made in heaven. And what makes it made in heaven is that you confirm the covenant before God and sexually with your mate. So, covenants are established by God, and not only for Christians. God recognizes all marriages because marriage is a divine institution for the human race. In other words, God even recognizes two non-Christians who get married. Because that's why John the Baptist could condemn Herod for his adultery. He could condemn him because God even recognized the marriage of a pagan like Herod. So it is established by God. When Jesus says in Matthew 19, what God has joined together, here's the key, man put asunder. And there it is. Let not a man put asunder what God has joined together, because then you deify the man and give him the power to overrule God.
Yeah.
And God will not be overruled. So since God is not going to be overruled, he says, okay, you go do that anyway. I just want you to know you have two wives. This thing will make you nervous, won't it? So, what God is saying is, this is my covenant, and it is my rule, and it is my institution, so you must function under my guidelines. That is, if you want my blessing.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the importance of keeping the marriage covenant, part of his current series exploring the issue of divorce and remarriage. Now, as I mentioned earlier, you can get the full-length version of all four messages in this teaching series on CD or digital download, along with Tony's companion booklet, Divorce and Remarriage. These resources can provide much-needed direction for you or someone you love who's in the midst of a troubling marriage, or who may have already had a divorce in their past. For a limited time, we're making the booklet and four-part message series available as a thank you gift for your contribution toward Tony's ministry. Visit TonyEvans.org today to get all the details on this Divorce and Remarriage Resource Package. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call 1-800-800-3222. Our Resource Center is open 24/7 to serve you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, more from Dr. Evans on the importance of preserving the marriage and the consequences of what happens when that isn't possible. Be sure to tune in. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
Beginnings Funeral Home in Pembroke Pines alerts listeners that 22 veterans take their lives every day. Together, we can win this war against veteran suicide. Join the effort to encourage our veterans by reminding them there is hope. If you are a veteran in crisis or you know a veteran battling an enemy within, please call for help or emergency services. That message of support is from New Beginnings Funeral Home in Pembroke Pines, where they are reminding our brave veterans, you are not alone.